Welcome to episode 39 of Under the Holotape, a Holotable News Network podcast covering in-depth analysis, mods, tips, and the hottest topics from the Outer Rim. I am Voxen. Joining me on today's episode, I have co-host number one, Mole Pokey.
Hello.
And the triumphant return of co-host, also number one, Celiac Sarah.
You should not have come back.
How are you?
I am great, Sarah. It's so great to have Jasper's Lifter unit on the show. Very excited. You know, in fact, Sarah, you're coming in a little quiet. I'm going to need to turn up your mic.
Yeah.
You really got to eat that microphone. This isn't Great Expectations. We actually want to make sure we can hear you here. No, but your Great Expectations have been really great lately. It was funny. You guys had a couple of those little audio issues, but all fixed today. If you checked out today's episodes of Crate. But we're so glad to have you back. And as I mentioned previously, we had contract issues, negotiations, so we would have had you back sooner. Of course, we worked out Sarah's contract really quickly and smoothly, but Jasper's contract demands to appear on the podcast were outrageous. Gold-plated pacifiers, oat breast milk, which I'm not even sure how that works, fresh diaper for every segment. It was just a lot, but we've gone through all of that, and maybe we will have Jasper on again soon as well. But Sarah, how has it been having one less podcast to edit and eat up your time?
It's weird. I almost feel like I just don't. I don't even know how to phrase it. I was so used to being on my computer all the time. And now I'm like, oh yeah, I have to go to my computer to do that. That's going to have to wait. I can't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was going to ask too, is, you know, how has it been getting back into content creation, you know, now with the new lifestyle, so to speak?
It takes a lot longer. I was like, oh, it'll be fine. I'll just bounce them on my knee. And then I'm like, oh no, this is not, like, I'm like, I can get maybe halfway through a video and I'm like, okay, we have to pause and go do something else for an hour. And then maybe you'll have a little nap and then we can come back to this later on.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, I've loved the times where he's been on videos or he's been on HNN. It has been really fun. Like his little cute cuckoos. I mean, especially even today with like Crate's episode, I think you guys were talking and then he had like a little outburst, like at like a perfect moment. It was like, oh, he totally like he takes issue with that. Yeah. So,
and yeah, you're going to be able to chart his growth by conquest.
I know.
Yeah.
Now, conquest 32, he was beginning to do this.
Yeah. I actually was thinking about that the other day. I was like, oh, like, maybe it's weird he's in the videos. I don't know. And then I was like, oh, but I can actually watch him like grow later. So that's kind
of fun. Yeah, you'll be able to go back. Yeah, that's really cool. And then I don't know that. Okay. Well, we'll just get into that. I'm here in a little bit. But Sarah, it's so much fun to have you back on. So today's episode, we're just going to talk a little bit about UTH. We're just going to kind of keep it light, have a casual conversations about the game and just kind of enjoying all being back together, right, on UTH. So UTH had its 2-year anniversary on March 4th. And I can't believe it. You know, it typically each year, when we did the first year, I did the episode with the community and tried to make a little bit of fanfare. I mean, the fact that we've done more than a handful of episodes just blows me away. So I've been wanting to do an episode to at least commemorate the fact that we passed 2 years. Now, it's funny, we're on episode like 39 of UTH and Crate is already like on episode 69. And you guys like started after us. I don't know why. I just wanted to have a podcast and I don't know why I decided to do, I think, one of the harder podcasts out there. You know, like, I don't know what I'm doing from week to week. You know, I don't know what I'm going to cover. I don't know. You know, I've got to book a guest on and all these things. And so, you know, sometimes it just becomes, like, oh boy, the workload to go through, you know, putting through one of these, I get a little turned off. So the episodes have been a little bit more sporadic lately. I've not been necessarily falling out of grace with doing the episodes, I'd say, but yeah, certainly my motivation, I guess, has waned a little bit, but I'll get back on that horse as time goes forward, and we're looking forward to it. You know, it's just speaking of kind of doing hard episodes, you know, I was a lot of things, you know, like Crate and HNN, you know, you have a nice little structure, you know, to like what you're going to do. And essentially CG kind of gives you your content week to week a lot of times, because you just talking about the whatever, you know, was brand new in the game that week. But a lot of times I think it's really cool, the place like Operation Metaverse, you know, they used to sometimes do these grand, you know, big events or something where they would really this huge elaborate plan, you know, and execute something with the community. And, you know, even you at HNN, Sarah, do you guys remember when you did the draft, when you like drafted tunes? Yeah. And went through that whole episode, and I think like did a mock like arena, not arena, like GA matches or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just things like that, I think, are really fun when you guys kind of get to do fun stuff that takes a little bit more work. It really shows. And if you, I highly recommend, I don't even know if it's still posted, but everyone go back to that and like listen to that draft episode. I don't know if anyone listens to past episodes of HNN, but some of them are just hilarious. I mean, yeah, anytime I finish the latest episode, my podcast player just immediately starts playing the very first episode, like,
me too.
Yeah, like the back ones. And so a lot of times, like wherever I'm just like already in bed, or I'll just let it play, and I'm just like, oh my god, I just fall in love with HNN like all over again, just from what you guys had going back then. It was just so special. Yeah, and so funny, so damn funny. Yeah, you guys were so great. I'm just listening to Sergi and Faye argue about what comps will beat what comps on like weird, with like weird makeups, because you guys are doing a draft. Anyway, and yeah, enough on that. I did want to touch, now Sarah, I don't think you've mentioned this anywhere, but HNN has a new logo, and
yeah
it's awesome. So I wanted to just quickly mention it, that
Yeah, your friend did it.
My friend, like, who basically does logos for a living right now for metal bands and a bunch of other stuff. But I met up with him. I haven't seen him in a couple of years, and he was doing logos while we're hanging out. And just happened to mention something about the podcast or whatever. He's like, oh, I'll do a logo for that. And then, yeah, 2 months later, he just, like, I wake up that morning, and in my inbox is, like, all these logo designs. I was like, oh, my God, these are so amazing. And so, yeah, I mean, I totally love it. I don't know, like, anyone that doesn't love the current one that we have up with actual like blue holo table underneath the logo. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you look at what we had before, it's just what, like, they must have just pulled up, you know, it was a logo for EA, not even like HNN, right?
yeah. He slapped like the Galaxy of Heroes logo on it. Yeah. Like, yeah, that works.
Yeah, that works. So. Anyway, super hyped about that logo. It's so cool. And speaking of, you guys got a new Create Expectations logo today too.
Yeah, which was also someone that just offered to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So a little bit of logo talk. I was a little jealous. It's like, oh man, no one's mentioned our logo. So yeah, I just think it looks great. Every time I see it now when a new episode comes up, it's just like, oh, it looks so good. Yeah, compared to what we had. So sharp. So moving on to just some other topics and stuff. I wanted to do a quick shout out to Gridden, and It's Just Ian, who have been doing content again. If anyone was fans of theirs, especially Gridden, who went through some hard times and things. He gave up Galaxy of Heroes, but he does do chill streams now, still on Twitch. Actually, he moved over to Kick. Him and Einzy now are both on Kick. Mm-hmm. People are moving over, and yeah, he's just playing RuneScape, I think. But just so happy for him that he's doing better. You know, so much of this, we really are a community, and I think a lot of us you know, I do feel more of an attachment to a lot of these people at this point, you know, playing this game for 6+ years, you know, than just the relationships of how, like, a content creator, right? So, you know, sometimes you get personally invested in these people, and Gridden is just one of the best people out there. And so, you know, and a friend of the show, because we've had him on, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just I couldn't click fast enough when he posted that he was going to be streaming and doing an update. So that was really cool. And then it's just Ian, who has been gone for 10 months. No, like, I'm quitting announcement. No, like, I'm not doing content announcement. No, nothing. Just completely disappears. And it's weird because I used to watch a lot of his content. I mean, he used to stream GA, so I would watch him at least like once a week, just do his GA stuff. And then just 2 weeks ago, he like pops up with another. He's like, "Hey, I'm still playing, just been busy." It's like, okay, cool. And he hasn't like posted another video since. I'm sure he's still busy, but it's like, again, just great to like see him check in. So power to him. As
he's
well.
Actually really been cool. Slightly active on the event server over the last
few months
too.
There too.
Yeah, he pops in, not often, and not, you know, to any significant degree, but you know, he asks a lot of like. Well, you know, he asks for advice and makes conversation. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Exactly. Yeah, I was always happy with him. And just, I think it has made room for some new content creators that I've been kind of excited to follow. Like Song, is it Song Jetta? I don't know how to say his name properly. Good content all the time. I'm really excited. I'm going to reach out to him soon to have him on the show. Yeah, he's been doing really good work in a couple others, but he's like the top that comes to mind as far as like kind of new people who have started to fill in the landscape. So you know, Heinze went on a Vegas trip which brought together all of the content creators, and they of course did their usual Gridzy session on Friday night, which was an utter disaster, but it was one of those car crashes though that was just too amazing to look away personally. I think at just the way they were doing it, it was just an incredible stream, seeing so many of the content creators, and especially, you know, Heinze has his own kind of little family with like Ram Bam and Gridden, and Gridden was there. They even had Yeti, who I hadn't like seen really. He quit the game, but and hasn't played in a long time, but some of the other, I'm trying to think of the other two that he does the regular stuff with, the guy from Kentucky, I think. But it was just really reminding me of like back in the day when GOH used to have like social get-togethers, like when mm-hmm. they actually had like all went to EA Play. I think that was when like Revan was being released.
Yeah, and you'd see these streams of like, here's Cubs fan Han next to Arnold, next to Mobile Gamer, next to whoever. I mean, I remember before she went to work for CG, like McMole and Crazy Excuses.
Yes.
Together for a couple things. And yeah, there was some cool stuff back in the day.
Yeah, I think Arnold and Arnold and I can't remember the other guy. I did a get together at like a Dave and Buster's even like, and like a ton of like players came out to hang out with him and Dave and Buster's, and I just remember that being fun. And so it was just really cool callback, because I just think the game has gotten so far along, and a little bit of that, you know, is impractical now. And so it was just really cool to see that happening again, where there's an event where people were actually getting together in a room together, you know, to play.
Also, Ram Bam was dressed as Scavenger Ray, which was not something I would have expected to see, but it was actually pretty well done and very amusing.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And it was kind of fun too, because they were it wasn't just one person playing. They were drawing names out of a hat, and then that person would basically pick a battle, and then they had to do the battle like for the stream. And so it's just kind of round table, and you could see the party going on in the background, and everyone just seemed to be having a really good time. And the real hope was that Tuscans were going to be on the back wall for Ram Bam, because Ram Bam classically does not know what they do, and it is hilarious. Ram Bam has quickly been one of my more favorite content creators of late, because now that he is doing Heinze's Oh gosh, what is his show that he releases on Monday?
Rogue Actions.
Rogue Actions, yeah. Yeah, no, they've been doing Rogue Actions. Thank you. So anyway, I just also wanted to commemorate that. I think that stream might still be up. I haven't looked, but if you have a chance, it's worth checking out. So, hey, the game came out with a character survey today, you guys, which I kind of besmirched because I'm a jerk sometimes. But I think seeing everyone's answers was really cool. Everyone was really excited about it. And then I felt bad for, you know, pooping on people's party because I think it was. And then, you know, I was like, okay, what am I going to vote for? So what were some of your ideas, guys? What'd you put down? Mole, we'll start with you.
You know, I was actually drew a blank for a lot of it. Like,
yeah.
GLs. Like, I can think of other GL-worthy characters. I mean, in the sense of, you know, how popular they are and how well-known they are. Like, R2 would qualify and C-3PO, but I don't necessarily... I mean, I could actually see, like, a C-3PO and R2 combined unit, like 3PO and Chewie are. Like, maybe that would be an interesting GL, but it, like... I don't know. Like, I feel like they've kind of plumbed the depths of GLs from the mainline movies. Yep. So I kind of don't care. Like I you know, I don't know if the next one has to be someone like Revan Reborn is, or has to be an Ahsoka or a Beskar Mando or not. Well, whatever the next level up from Beskar Mando is, or, you know, I mean, you know, I wrote down Gonk Droid, you know, jokingly, but obviously that would be dumb. But a droid GL might be interesting in general, so I don't know.
Well, I think the smart answers probably are to look at a faction that doesn't have a GL and write something, you know, a good idea in there if you really wanted to maybe see your idea come to fruition.
Yeah, but, you know, I thought about that a little bit, but, you know, most of the factions, the larger ones anyway, have an associated GL at this point. Like, I don't know what a Jawa GL would even look like, or a Tusken GL, or any of the rest of that, so...
Yeah, well, I think there's a Tusken Sith Lord or something, so maybe there is. That would be, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying the characters don't exist somewhere out in comics or whatever. I'm just like, in terms of popular culture.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's what I thought for Capital Ship was like, who has real strong feeling? I'm sure there are people that have really, very strong feelings about Capital Ships. But yeah, that was the hardest one for me. I was like, I skipped it.
The only Capital Ship one I can even think of that I know of, I'm far from an expert on these things, is the Ravager. Which is definitely not going to happen now because, of course, you know, well, I mean, I'm sorry, it's leaked. It's supposed to be coming out soon. you know, like
as a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So other than that, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I know there are a million other ships that have been mentioned in books and comics and whatever, but nothing that I'm aware of really in any meaningful way.
Yeah. I skipped that too.
Yeah.
I know for regular ships, that one was easier because I really want a B-Wing to be in the game. I know Red 5 was a popular answer for that one, and great. You know, but I'd want to see a B-Wing. I'd want to see an A-Wing. I wouldn't mind seeing the Mantis from Fallen Order and Survivor.
I think A-Wing has been on a lot, has been a glaring omission just in our ships, right, in general.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sarah, did you have? Well, it sounds like you had a little bit of fun throwing Gonk Droid in there, so that's great. Yeah. That's what I like to hear. Sarah, did you have any fun with the survey? Did you put some fun stuff, or what did you put?
So for GL, I told them, like, logically, I feel like they've kind of scraped the barrel for that, and if they are gonna do another one, I was like, I think logically, like, your next big name Star Wars character is Mandalorian, like, just to go to the next level there. Whether or not they do that is who knows, but I did tell them, I didn't say that I necessarily wanted Red 5, but I told them that, like, you know, given all the trolling and stuff, I'm like, if Red 5 were to come to the game eventually, I would expect it to be a legendary or conquest type unlock, not a chase, not a marquee, whatever you want to call it.
For sure.
So I did say that I do want to see I told them I would like to see Luthen as a marquee.
Oh, that's a great one.
And then I was like, in brackets, to pilot his ship that you will launch at a later date, and then the next ship. I was like, Luthen ship, please.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I tried to pick things that weren't too overdone, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just think of the plethora of ideas we've had of, you know, because that's one of our episode questions, right? You know, as we ask what, you know, character or ship people want to see as the come of the game. And so, you know, I had a lot of those ideas in my head as well, like Asajj Ventress's ship, which was Taliana's pick, which is a really cool ship. It's got fins. you know, a GMY ship as well would be really cool. Maybe build out a second Galactic Republic thing and rework Mace's ship, since that's the capital. It's just, you know, in the crash right now. I called on a lot of the Legends stuff because I'm such a Legends nerd. So I put Darth Bane for like my GL, and the Sun Crusher for the ship to come to the game. And then I think for Marquee, I've had like Corrin Horn. So I just love that they opened the door for like Legends stuff. And so it's just like, oh, that's kind of my favorite content now, or possibilities. So I kind of went that direction with my answers.
You know who I wrote for Marquee? I wrote DJ.
Oh, remember DJ? Yeah,
I was like, that guy needs to do something of value, because otherwise he was like, I did not enjoy his character in The Last Jedi. Let's give him something to do. Let's give him the ability to hack droids or something. I don't know. But give him something to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was the other thing I was thinking. I was like, yeah, what's like, what would be a droid GL? What would be a smuggler GL or something, you know, which I'm sure you could do like Talon Card or something. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm just.
They could do a GL Han.
Yeah. Right.
That's a scoundrel GL or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was cool. And then. So they also did a Q&A recently, and Mo, you got a couple questions in there. I thought that was kind of cool.
That was unexpected.
Yeah,
especially because one of them was a goofy one.
Yeah, for Anissa, as everyone calls her. For Anissa. Yeah, driving nuts. Yeah, I feel like this, you know, Anissa being released is just apropos for every content creator in this game who says Omnicrons and, you know, the characteristic mispronunciation of, you know, what many people do in this game. Yeah.
Yeah, now I asked what Ewok they thought should be removed from the regular team, which was a serious and reasonable question. And then I asked how much money we would have to donate to their charity in order to get the entire CG studio singing the Ewok theme.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm old enough to have watched Ewoks when I was a kid, and I still remember the theme, and I thought that would be amusing.
But oh, absolutely. Anyway. I think it's funny too. Their answer was Elder, and they were just like, "Yeah, you don't need a revive." And it's like, "Yeah, no one cares about Elder in the team for the revive. He's the TM engine. Like, you can't take. you're missing the point." Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did wonder a little bit about that, just because maybe with her Omicron running, or with Chirpa's Omicron running, not having Elder there makes more sense. Mm-hmm. So maybe under certain contexts, the answer makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm probably never putting her Omicron on. I'm sure I'll never test it, but yeah, I know. It was like, yeah, no one is doing that.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of wonder. I mean, I guess with their suggestion, you know, maybe I'll talk to Gerbil about doing some. Gerbil's on like this big vacation, but he's chomping at the bit to produce Nisa content. But yeah, maybe he'll do some stuff without Elder. To get in there. But I just always figured if we're getting like Gia Leia such a part of that story, and if you're releasing the Endor Leia for that moment in time, Wicket has to be on her team, right? Like it just seems like maybe you build, because Wicket has a little bit of TM, maybe I like you could probably pair some crazy TM generation with Wicket in there, or keep making her have him all of a sudden hit like a truck or something, you know, in her kit, you know. I just think it would be really cool to have some Wicket synergy with her in there.
Yeah.
So, but you just never know what we're going to get. Well, I guess we know we're going to get the dragon guy. So we'll see what he looks like. We're all going to be surprised.
There were two characters in the data mine today.
Two new,
sort of those blank packs, set packs. So one of them presumably is Drogon. I mean, Sig is always the first person to say, just because they're there doesn't mean there's a character attached to them. It could be months or years, like you don't know.
Okay.
Fine, but probably one of them is Drogon. And who knows the other one? I think it has to, I mean, man, especially with the new raid on its way, I find it so hard to believe they won't do it. They can't have Scout Trooper. Like that, talk about one of the main characters involved in the speeder bikes. It's Scout Troopers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even if that's not a requirement for Leia, you could just release it for the raid.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like how they did the Tuskens, right? And then they made the Tuskens a raid team.
And what didn't Jabba have 3 marquees?
He did.
Yeah, and so I think we're at 2 marquees so far, just Nyssa and Dragon Man.
And Rex. 3.
Well, Rex.
But Rex isn't in the requirements, is he?
Yes.
Am I crazy?
Yep.
Oh, he is. Okay, never mind. I'm an idiot. Right, he's the first one. Yeah, they're him and Nyssa are in the first thing. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so that's gonna be the 3. Okay, so then there's just gonna be another one floating.
But of course, also just because Jabba had 3,
they up it to 4.
You could realistically argue too that like Rex was released before they announced GL Leia, so maybe you don't include that in the quote unquote 3 marquees needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I think I was just talking the other day about, I kind of like this cadence they're doing now where it seems we're getting, you know, one capital ship, one GL, and the GL or the capital ship requirements seem to be locked behind relic requirements. And the G, if we're just, I mean, from last year, and then the GL requirements seem to be locked behind marquees. Right, because we weren't having the crazy, and you know, maybe we'll see some more R9s, but Jabba didn't have crazy relic requirements. And I think that's a kind of a really cool balance, quite frankly, that we see kind of different areas in which maybe they're boosting revenue, you know, with these different quote unquote GLs for the different, you know, for fleets and squads. But then I was also thinking, it's interesting that, you know, it makes sense that they slowed down GLs because we're up to 8 now, right? And we'll, you know, once we hit, you know, if we get to like 12, you know, you're not going to use any other team in the game. 12 12 GLs basically covers what you would use in just about every game mode. You know, 12 teams in just about every game mode would cover it, you know. And so it just kind of made me wonder, you know, are they going to pivot? And Mole, you were just saying, you know, that they scraped the barrel. You both were just saying they scraped the barrel on GLs. You know, do we see some sort of next level of power creep somehow or something, you know, where they do something greater than a GL? And I don't, you know, maybe it doesn't have to have like the same GL Galactic Legends significance in the game. They could just find a character and give it crazy power.
Well, I think in a lot of ways we're seeing it, you know, there are a couple things, like for instance, I don't think Leia is going to have particularly more difficult requirements than Jabba. I think they may have taken a look at Lord Vader and the sort of uptake on Lord Vader and said, this is too much. And also, if we're going to be tying, like they tied Jabba into so much content, they want people to get Jabba. I think they actually are sort of moving in the, let's make it easier. More people they probably have a spreadsheet somewhere that says, if we make it a little easier, more people will spend or something like that. So there's that aspect of it. But the other thing is, you know, Omicrons are kind of the power creep. Because even though, you know, Reva as an example, like Reva isn't a GL killer in all modes, but she's definitely a GL killer or some GL's killer in some modes. you know, and you see it with Starkiller, and you see it with all over the place, and between Omicrons and Datacrons, and the way Datacrons keep shifting. I mean, Aphra was a GL killer until she kind of wasn't. All this sort of stuff. I think we're kind of seeing the way. I don't think we're necessarily going to see something past GLs. I don't think they need to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And you're right, we are. We're seeing almost like a subcategory emerge with Reva, who is often referred to as a GL in cases. And what I think now, reading Malikos's kit, is just like, this is so convoluted and dumb, it's going to be so OP. I was really wanting to be on HNN for like the Malikos kit read, because I really wanted to do this bit that was like, you got halfway through his basic and was like, wow, that sounds really powerful, and you're like, no, I'm not done, and it's like, okay, I guess keep going, and then, you know, like get like halfway through his unique or just be like, oh well, that has to be everything. Like, you have to be done there. You've been speaking for like 10 minutes on the unique, and I don't understand a word you've said at this point. Oh, no. Oh, keep going. Okay. He's more powerful than this. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go keep going. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Just feel it. Yeah. Just to keep doing, like, okay, well, that was great. No, I'm not done. Now? Nope. Not done. Nope. There's still more.
Back to novel sized kits.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, novel kit. Yeah. So, but oh my God, I'm so excited for him. So. He looks so cool. And we'll get to talking about him here in another minute. But yeah, speaking of Conquest, how are you guys doing? Are you, boy, this one feels grindier than any one before. Am I alone on that?
I think it's fine.
Okay. But okay.
I thought it would be grindier than it turned out to be, okay. Actually.
Okay. I like hearing that. I think I'm always less efficient on the first one, obviously.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So I'll probably pick up the efficiency. But yeah, normally, I mean, I'm done 2 days ago, you know, with normal conquests, and I'm not done today. I mean, I still have to finish like geo kills and a couple of the things. Like, it's killing me. Oh, I was going to ask, what did you guys skip? Yeah, what feats did you guys skip?
What am I skipping?
Sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
I'm skipping geo kills.
Okay. Yeah, I planned on skipping geo kills, and then all of a sudden I went to Hot Utils to look at my plan, and it was like, oh, I guess I have to do that. Like, I don't understand why I have so few tickets for Red Cray. It was blowing my mind yesterday when I was like, why am I still 30 away from Red Cray? And I've completed basically every sector's feat.
No, I'm skipping that one. I'm skipping Rebel Fighter kills, and I'm skipping the defeat 100 enemies with Cal or Seer.
Okay.
Just because I don't really want to do that and focus on it. And then on Professor X, I'm skipping geo kills, the defeat 100 enemies. And there's something else. Oh, the Jedi Knight Cal surviving.
Okay. Yeah. See, those are the things. I had wanted to do those three too. But now, yeah, I'm still, whatever, I need 15 more banners. Maybe but it doesn't seem like I dropped that many in the sectors. It's killing me. Anyway, Mo, what did you skip? Enough about me.
Well, so I got the Pass Plus. So
cool.
That meant...
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that meant I could skip Wookiees and skip the five Phoenix, like with Rex, the one that included the Rex. I think that's the other, those are the two you get those consumables,
which is such a cool thing. Instead of getting, you get a consumable, which gets the feat instead of, like, what a cool loop around. I just think that's so clever of them.
Yeah. So I lose out on 2 points there, but that's fine. And then I skipped
2 points.
Yeah. Well, I skipped, Cal Seer kills.
Yeah.
I could do it, but I don't wanna. So
same.
And I think, well, they must have skipped something else, but I can't think of what.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did the count.
I know I did all the sector feats this time around, which is unusual. Yep. Usually there's some sector 4 or sector 5 feat I wanna dump, but this time I did all of them.
Yeah, yeah, I did too. Okay, yeah, just the math isn't adding up for me. So yeah, but so yeah, so I'm still just figuring that out. So are you guys both done? You finished?
Yeah.
You guys both read Crate?
I'm not done yet. I always am slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I blame it on the fact that I'm going back and forth between the two accounts. So I just take my time.
Well, it's funny, like, Sarah, though, because you blitz to Sector 5 like right yeah. away, though, too.
Yeah, I do. I always okay. I blitz straight through on both of them. I blitz straight through to Sector 5. Yeah, because
you got to do the videos.
Yeah, and then I go back and I'm like, okay, we'll do. So like I will in order to for people to like be efficient or like manage stamina, I'll be like, okay, you need to do like 3 Malgus wins or whatever a day and 3 clone wins a day, et cetera, et cetera. And I won't do that because I'm blitzing. I'm just going straight through as fast as I can. And then I go, I'm like, I got to play catch up and do like 7 a day.
Yeah, no, I guess that's a good point. Yeah, I my method's pretty methodical. I go through each sector and I try to have it so when I finish a sector, I have completed all the feats in that sector,
right.
You know, or at least gotten as close as I possibly can, having done each node once. And then, you know, and then just go back and clean up. But yeah, this one I did a little bit because I tried to blitz the 220s a little bit harder each day. So then I could finish those. And then I knew that the Malik one and the clone one would go really quick. So you had 2 clone teams and Malik, you can just burn all the way basically down to 0 energy. So yeah, all of that worked out.
Clones is the other one I didn't do.
Yeah. Oh, clones. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, you got to skip a lot. That's really cool. And I'm sure you're so excited to get an extra day of proving grounds.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good thing. You know, I am not at all offended that there is somehow an advantage being granted to other players that I don't get because I don't need it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, there has to be. The more mechanisms there are to let newer players enthusiastically catch up, the better. So,
well, yeah. It seems like an amazing deal for new players because it's not just like you get whatever the latest, another attempt on the latest character. Like if you don't have any of those characters, you get another attempt on every, you know, node of proving grounds, which is a massive amount of shards per dollar spent, quite frankly. And then you're taking what is a, with because Zara said it was a 17-month grind and you're cutting that in half. And granted, you know, 9 months is not better
right
necessarily, but under the circumstances it's great. I mean, some of these, you know, farms, I mean, I still haven't 7-starred my profundity. I'm really close, but you know, some of those grinds are take a really long time. So
and you can buy cat and maul shards also for is it Mark 3? Raid currency?
Yep.
Not Rain. Okay. Mark 3, whatever currency.
Is it Get 3?
Get 3. Sorry. Yes, Get 3. That's right.
Well, it's one of the threes.
Yeah. It's not it's not the raid currency, so it must be Get 3. And those is kind of, I mean, Malgus probably falls into this category too, but Cat and Maul certainly are the two, if there are any two key characters that are Conquest characters, it's probably those two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah, and I think Malikos is going to be a rise to the top, the cream that's going to rise to the top and be a close third, from what I've seen with him. So have you gotten a chance to sim? I guess Mole, you're just simming your little butt's content over there.
Yeah, I mean, simming is great.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. I haven't simmed once yet. And it's killing
it. It feels just like you're simming, you know, for. Kyratech or whatever else. The only thing about it is that it highlights a minor annoyance. Yeah. And this is a minor annoyance in the scheme of things. I recognize that. But that is that if you are simming on the Sector 1 node, you can fill your mailbox pretty quickly with datacrons. Because at this point, you know, like I had 30 datacrons, low gear, but or low level, but I had 30 data. So now it's just filling up. So I actually had to sell one of my datacrons just so I could start dismantle one datacron and then claim from the mailbox and then dismantle and claim and dismantle and claim this. And it's not a, again, in the scheme of things, it's like, you know, a minute and a half of my life I'll never get back. It's not the end of the world. But it would be nice to be able to sell straight from your mailbox because it's kind of annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a good UI.
But I'll tell you, when you hit sim and you just get this immediate influx of like 600,000 currency, it's nice to see it that way rather than rather than have to do it over 20 minutes, 50K at a time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's great. Yeah, you know how people get those like thug life tattoos? I'm going to get sim life across my neck. Yeah. But man, yeah, I can't wait to do that simming. And I also am running into that problem right now with the crons. And I don't know. I mean, not that I haven't experienced it before, but I've got 4 crons sitting in my mailbox now. And it just seems like, wow, I'm encountering this problem more than I have in the past. Like I'm getting more crons than I have. Maybe I'm just like lucky or whatever. But even Zareth was saying he never really runs into that problem and he had to sell like his first cron too. So I don't know if maybe they just upped the rate like a point something, but
he's got a surprise on Professor X too, because there's like 5 in the inbox.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 5 in the inbox there. Wow. Yeah, which is not a super terrible problem to have, but yeah, just kind of managing those and getting them in, which leads me to, so I've done about 20 plus maybe attempts at this point. I still don't have a doubt cron. You guys got the doubt cron?
I definitely rolled one.
Okay.
I think maybe I have one.
Yeah.
I might have 2. I definitely have 1 though.
Okay. We all, I think, kind of know some of these are gated harder than the other ones.
Yeah.
But
it is such a weird set because honestly, with a couple of exceptions, the only thing that matters is the level 3. The only thing that's mattering substantially.
Yep.
Is the level 3. I mean, there are certain things like Marin's is having an impact. She would have won the battles anyway that I've used her with that Datacron, but you notice its presence definitely. But I mean, it's the level 3, it's, it's amazing. and frankly, it's, they probably shouldn't have done it.
The level 3 is so accessible. I have so many of those level 3s. I feel like I've had a really good easy chance of, if I don't hit the first time, I see it on a reroll, whether it's light side or dark side.
They should have made it 5% or something. I mean, it's
nasty.
It's nasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I just double checked. I do have 1 doubt cron on my Sith assassin.
You lucky ducky.
That's just going to sit there and not go on Sith assassin.
No. Do you have the Asajj Omicron, Mo? If you're pairing, you got your
I had it, I think. I do have one. I do have one. Okay, I mean, I honestly didn't particularly want it. I was more interested in Zombie and Marin than Asajj. So I haven't actually used Asajj lead anywhere with it. It's actually pretty good. It's just that the other ones are better.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, tying into Conquest here, I want to jump down to Malakos a little bit. So I just got my Seer 7 stars. I was impressed with her team in the first place. Just seemed pretty fun, great defensive team. I was looking up counters yesterday on .gg, and it was like Gas and I think Triumvirate maybe. It was like 2 teams. We're dominant in like beating it, but that was it. Beyond that, there wasn't a lot of variety, on that like first page. You could of course expand it, but and I was like, wow, I think I'm into it. And so Mole, I kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit about your experience with Seer up till now. If you're going to use Malakos there, or your plans for Malakos.
Well, I've kept the Seer squad largely on defense. Entirely on defense. It's gotten a few holds. It's gotten lots of people get through it. it's one of I to me it's a squad that is very much in the same vein as Zori and Tuscans, which is if you plan for it, it's pretty easy to get through. It's only if you didn't plan for it where you could find yourself in big trouble. Well, actually, not even that big trouble, because most people don't seem to have that much trouble getting through it in two.
Oh, okay.
It's getting through it, because, you know, even there, you know, because as long as you can take out a couple character like Seer or Cal, you're probably fine for two. But hey, if you get one hold, that'll make or break your GAC potentially. There's nothing wrong with that. I would probably use Malakos there. I mean, I don't know. He, obviously, his kit is most tuned to work there. But it's also one of those things where we may find that, yeah, it works really great there. But you know where it really, you know, even though you can only use 80% of his kit, let's do Vader or Lord Vader. Like that, it may be that that's the way, that's what will make the most sense. I don't know. Yeah. But I would certainly start with trying him under Seer.
And do you have the Seer leadership, Omi?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I was looking at. I needed two shards yesterday before unlock. And well, actually, I think I needed four shards yesterday before unlock. And I haven't been doing the refreshes because it's like, oh, no need to rush it because I'm nowhere near getting Jedi Cal. But then I was like, oh, well, it'd actually be really cool to have Seer for an extra defensive team. So let me do a couple extra refresh. And I got one shard refreshed, one shard refreshed, zero shards. So I was like, okay, two shards away. Yeah. Don't need to worry about like giving her any relics or applying the Omi right now. We're just going to do this GA without her. But I'm just really personally in this dilemma of, do I apply the Omi now and just like be okay with whether or not Malakos is going to go on her team and be good enough and just, you know, that, or do I like apply the Omi now with the expectation that she's going to be super OP and Malakos is going to join that team? I guess with that, my other question with you, Fulcrum seems to be the other like main, like a lot of teams have like a core of three, right? And so Seer's core of three seems to be Cal and Fulcrum, from what I was seeing. Are you running her with that, or what's the comp that you're using?
Yeah, I wasn't originally, and my Fulcrum has never exactly been a character. I mean, my Fulcrum is relict, but she's never been a character I've exactly put good mods on.
Right.
But yeah, now, well, her mods are... have gone from bad to mediocre in the last month. And then I've been putting crew there as the fourth.
Yep. Another mainstay.
Yeah, because I don't need him. I mean, first order stormtrooper does well enough under Kylo.
Yep.
So that's fine. And then the fifth I've been fiddling around. I mean, I've seen second sister. I've seen ninth sister. I've seen Scavenger Rey. I'm pretty sure I've got Scavenger Rey there right now because I forgot to change it.
Okay.
Probably should be ninth. Yeah. Should be ninth sister. Because of course I didn't have Reva the last time we were in 5v5. So
yeah,
right. But you know, to a certain extent it's just, I mean, they just soak up so much damage. It doesn't even matter that much.
They do, right. Tanks aren't even really necessary. The protection up on them is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they aren't killing your team.
Right.
If you go up against them. What they're just timing your team out.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Okay, boy, but you know, she has the insta-kill. It seems like she's going to insta-kill.
She does, and she'll definitely do a ton of damage or insta-kill somebody, but she's not going to do that to five characters in one.
Okay, she won't get through.
Right? So so generally it's more about just a timeout team.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I've been noticing with that team in particular, because, you know, Cal and Seer, it's like they don't need to be modded for speed, but they're so slow inherently, it doesn't seem like they are hurt by putting mediocre speed on. I mean, I guess you're just losing whatever a slot that you could have a better stat, but granted, we all know like flat defense is typically like a stat on every mod for some reason. So Yeah, so I mean, I was just kind of like looking at modding them too, you know, and I was like, yeah, I don't, again, I'm like everyone else, I get rid of all of my mods with zero speed. So, but I was like, you know, why not mod them for a ton of speed? It doesn't seem, they're so slow already. It doesn't seem like it's going to move the needle. They'll just, in terms of like them being less effective for their damage or like the other team getting off the turns enough to like do the ramping that they need. I'm sure there's a sweet spot there.
Haven't played with at all. I mean, yeah. I put a no speed set on them. I had one excellent no speed set because that was a set I used for Kenobi, General Kenobi in the pit raid, the challenge, the pit raid. So I was like, oh my god, I have this perfectly intact set with basically no speed on it that's high health and can soak up a lot of damage. So that was nice. And then the rest of it was just scrounging for scraps from various things. But yeah, I don't know, because I have a feeling if you went and asked one of the folks who, you know, the folks who actually know what they're doing, you know, the Fatals of the world.
Yes, I'm going to be looking at his roster.
Yeah, you know, they would say, you know, no, you should be running plus 50 or plus 75 speed or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I have no idea.
Yeah. Sarah, real quick with you, how are you doing on like all the marquee farms that are out there right now? And, you know, going for Jedi Cal and or, but I know you finished LV, so you've got all of the GLs.
Yeah.
And you are slow farming Aphra. And I'm sure you're pivoting, you're getting Leviathan, and you're pivoting to focus to GL Leia, I assume. So where are you at with your other stuff? With these marquees.
So my only marquees that I have not finished, obviously, like other than like Rex.
Oh wait, I am sorry. I forgot you went hard. You have Jedi Cal.
I do.
You do. Oh my god! I totally Jedi forgot. Cal. How cool!
Yeah.
So what's your way in with all these teams? I mean, you got a Seer, and you got a, you know, did you put like relics into any of these tunes and stuff or?
So my Seer.
Yeah, where'd you take them up to?
She is relic 6 right now. She's gonna be relic 7 tomorrow. I need 7 blue signal data, and then she'll be relic 7.
Wow.
Jedi Cal is relic 7.
Wow.
So I will get to try that special mission next territory battle, which I'm really excited about. I wasn't going to go for him because I don't know why I got it into my head. I was like, this is going to be like $700. And then I was like, oh, and I was looking at what I need. I'm like, this is only a vault. It's fine.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's amazing. Yeah, that's a great deal then.
And Ando got in my head, you know, so, so I was just like, I'll just get it. And then, and being done with Lord Vader, I'm like, okay, so I need 30 something shards of BT1 and Zori needs like 90 shards or something like that. She just hit 6-star. So, and then that's it. Those are the only two other than, Captain Rex. So, hopefully, I mean, Leviathan, I will unlock. I haven't decided if I'm going to buy another vault.
What star just level like, to go for you?
I was like, I'll just get a 5-star the first month. It'll be fine. And now I'm seeing like all of the abilities that are locked behind the tiers and stuff. I'm like, it's going to be annoying for a month.
Yeah, it really looks like you have to have it at 7 stars to really make it work. Right?
They tiered those abilities a little bit harder than the other ones than what they did for Profundity, huh?
Yeah, so I'm not thrilled about that.
No, I'm not thrilled about that either.
Yeah, so I'm like, do I do it? Do I just go to 5 stars and wait anyway? I don't know.
I was just planning on doing 5, but that won't be very viable.
Yeah, but I am focusing on, like, I don't think I'm going to chase Aphra unless I absolutely have to, but I'm just kind of looking at the Leia requirements and slowly maybe taking those up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to. So
then is your like Saw Gerrera still 12? Because you only needed gear 12 guys to go through. I assume you didn't relic him yet.
No, he's still gear 12. Tarful's still gear 12.
Okay. Yep.
That event was so easy.
Okay.
Because I did it with little Cal was use gear 13. Like, I didn't have any, like, not even relic one, just gear 13. And then the rest of them were gear 12, and it was pretty easy. I didn't even remod.
And your little Cal is R7 now, then?
He's still R0. Jedi Cal's R7. I'm gonna have to
just use Jedi Cal for the
Zepho. I'm just gonna use Jedi Cal version. And then I'm gonna have to add relics to little Cal. And now I'm realizing I'm probably gonna have to gear my Fulcrum.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, yeah, as well. Whether or not I'm gonna have to do a Fulcrum to toss into the mix if I'm gonna start running a seer team, which I don't mind. But you know, who knows?
But what's been really fun though is like realizing how many characters I can take to gear 12 right now that were pre-Cairo characters with just like that influx of gear from the crate raid. I'm like, oh, this is fantastic.
Sarah, sounds like you're ready to join my 12-step program.
I was sitting there, I was like, upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. It was just such a nice little feeling. I'm like, there's no Kairos here.
Yeah. And then once you're done with that, I mean, you just watch core gear just stack.
Yeah.
And you just never have to worry about it again. It's so nice. So I want to ask both of you guys for your guild. Are you guys close to unlocking Zepho? Where are you at with getting with the 30 attempts?
I can't remember how many we have. You know what? Let me log in.
Yeah, check. How many did you guys get last time? Mole, did you complete the mission last time?
I did. For the first time, I completed the mission last time.
And did you use Jedi Cal?
I did use Jedi Cal. It really was only last time that we had a strategy down that you could work with either Cal and get it done consistently. So now that strategy is out there, I think a lot of us thought like, oh my God, it's going to be months until we get in to see Zepho. But now I don't think it's going to take us that long.
Cool.
No, I think we're probably going to be there by the fall, by like September.
Oh, okay. Yeah, getting everyone else up there. Well, and because I haven't seen videos for it yet. I'm sure they're out there where people have figured out how to beat it with little Cal as well on the team. So actually, I want to check one of those videos out. I'm really curious. Because I have my little Cal at R7 because I got the Datacron for him. And then now that Seer is unlocked, at least I've got those two to pair with each other. I'm gonna take her to R7, and you know, I'll do that mission. I'll probably be the only person in my guild completing that mission for God knows how long. Maybe years before they get around to probably even breaking 10.
Well, if it's any comfort, I'm not sure. From what we've seen, you're not missing out on that much.
Oh yeah, right. Zepho, right? No, we're not. No,
and it's not nothing, but it's. Yeah, it's not that exciting.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I was really curious about with Zepho was whether the reward boxes counted as a star, as in like would they close the territory?
And they will. They will. Yeah, thank you. Was it Ma that did that? Tested it. They just got one box to see if it would close. So, yeah, good. Kudos to them. I think they did a great job with Jedi Cal because the incentives are there. Like, it's a good character and unlocks like a whole new zone that, you know, will advance rosters and or guilds. But in terms of like usurping priorities, I love that I don't have to feel guilty about leaving him behind for going for Geo Leia, because Geo like is going to be at my top anyway, and then I can kind of slowly do him. And I think they kind of hit the incentives on the head. I guess some people probably that invested heavily might not be remorseful, but yeah, we're hoping for more. But yeah, for me, that has to really focus on my priorities. He was a welcome, you know, like target that they were like, okay, I can slow farm him and stay on target for Leia, Geo Leia. So that was kind of really exciting for me. But that's really cool. Yeah, really cool tune. I am looking forward to, and a lot of people have been having a lot of fun with Jedi. Well, we're going to keep this episode short. We're going to start wrapping up here. I know you guys are probably checking your watches, listeners, right now. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. this is UTH. I expect hours and hours. But let's, I wanted to do the Bantha in the Room. We've been doing that here with UTH. Anything that has been grinding your guys' gears? Mole, start with you. Got anything off the top of your head?
I mean, there isn't any... Aside from why wasn't the Leviathan out today?
Oh, yeah, I didn't want to talk about that. That's right. You guys didn't do the event today? They said it was coming out today.
Yeah. You know, but aside from that affront to all that is good in the world, you know, I guess I'm just feeling a little down about the crate raid.
Yeah.
You know, and I can appreciate that CG is in a weird spot with it, and players are, because on the one hand, we're all bored of it already. On the other hand, we've just been told, well, good news, in a few months, you won't get to play it again. And it's like, oh, so all this time I put in and resources I put into doing these characters is all for naught. Well, sort of. And it's like, well, I mean, I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know if there is a right answer. Because it's not like if I'm probably going to, you know, if they put out a new raid, I'd rather play the new one than an old one anyway. That's just probably the way it would go. But I don't know. It just feels like a bummer a little bit, even though it's not like I want to go back to C Pit. That's terrible. Like, anyway.
I really thought the cadence for the raids was going to be a year. Like, I was like, yeah, we'll have the crate raid for roughly a year and then the new one will come out. And like that's a nice spot to make it worthwhile to build your teams, get good rewards without feeling like it's getting snatched away so quickly. So I was actually shocked that they announced a new raid already, to the point that I repeatedly said to the same people, I can't believe there's a new raid again.
Yeah.
I'm really wondering if this release cadence is not setting a precedent where, because the way I think about it is like they wanted to restructure, right? So ground level is we just have to restructure these raids, and we've done that by introducing the new crate raids, so we can introduce the new system and the new everything that we want to do. And then it was very easily for especially the top end game players to adapt to this system. But now you have to, within this system, push beyond what they're capable of, as all raids do, you know? And so then it's like, yeah, we have to give a little like 1-2 punch, I think, to establish what we want to do with raids and then set those goalposts far enough out, you know, to do something like a Relic 10 or to do something like, you know, a raid character. I don't know what it may be, but, you know, because that's the thing, we've gone all this time without another growth mechanism, and raids are typically, you know, what that growth mechanism is. And I could see them being like, okay, well, let's create the new system, but let's not do it all at once. And then like, boom, okay, here it is. And then now we'll go to like a year cadence, right, with the next one that's in line. But it does make me, with like the three man and the ability, like what they were, you know, that they said that were the abilities for the characters are not going to be the abilities in the raid, you know. It's like, oh, don't let this be another faint parry strike. Oh, please, Lord.
Oh, please, God. Lord.
And I know it won't be like those mechanics, you know what I mean? But it's just like, oh my God, you're giving specific abilities to them for the raid. I was having like flash PTSD, maybe.
There is one thing I find slightly mysterious about all of it, and that is Leia's or Bush's Omicron. When we switch, her Omicron will become useless.
Yeah.
Unless you happen to be playing the Sith raid still or something, and then technically it still has a use. But, and of course this, you know, this brings you back to like, remember when they reduced the price, the cost of it to 10? And it's not like, it's not, you know, if we do never get to use it again, like, hey, I got a good amount out of it for 10 Omicron mats. I can't complain, but it is very unusual for CG to take something like that and then just go, now it is completely useless.
Yeah. Yeah. That, yes.
It, like that, it's, you know, like, I don't even know what analogous thing would be, like Aura Zeta that works on topple raid bosses, right. Like, you know, like, and you know, there aren't many precedents for making something completely useless.
It makes me think of when people rush to put GMY's leadership Zeta on, yeah. I think.
Right.
It's like, oh no, I'm never gonna use him as a leader.
Man, yeah, that Omicron thing is it's rough too, because let's say there's a raid Omicron for this new raid that we're going to get. It's almost like, do you want to apply it? Because what if we get a new raid in 6 months, regardless of if they change the cadence to a year?
And would you apply it for 10 or 20, you know, and this, you know.
I think people are going to tread very lightly with the new raid now. It was a 6 months apart. I mean, if they don't, which they won't, they're not going to address it and be like, oh, you know, the next raid won't be for another year or something. You know, I think they're going to probably just let it seem like a six. And then, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll get another raid in 6 months again. I don't think so. I'm calling my shot now. but yeah, I think, again, people will just have to catch on as like the 6 month timeline hits and it's like, oh well, they haven't announced a new raid, I guess I'll slowly invest more in the current raid, you know, right? So just kind of slowly happen, or you know, we'll just kind of be adapting to whatever happens with these raids. It's just, it made me think, it's so funny with GLaeya came out and like every content creator has been like, I called it, I knew it was going to be GLA. And it's like, yeah, what? You weren't the person who had the idea first. Like,
everybody called.
Everyone.
Everyone is claiming, like, I did it. I called this one. It's like, yeah, no, you don't lame claim to shit. I'm calling this GL. Yeah, it's so funny. A couple of them done it. So, Sarah, Bantha in the room?
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, I agree about the raid.
Yeah, that was a good one, Mo.
That was a good one. Thanks. Man, I don't know if I have. So, I will springboard off of the raid and just kind of like voice what I sort of said in our officer chat, was the downside of the raid coming in 6 months and, you know, kind of putting that shelf life on crate and everything. And it's really pushing the player base to focus on specific areas, which is fine, but because they're doing it so quickly and they're also just throwing so much content at us nonstop, if you aren't able to kind of detach yourself from some game modes or detach your guild from some game modes and just be like, okay, let's take our foot off the gas here, it is just a recipe for burnout. Like, there is no way, I think, that any sane person would be able to be like, yeah, we can go full tilt at the raid, full tilt at TB, full tilt at Territory War, full tilt at Grand Arena, full tilt at Conquest, and still manage all of your farms and fleet payout and all that stuff, right? Like, it's just so much really, really quickly. And it's a little bit of a double-edged sword too, because CG's kind of gotten into this thing now where they're giving us so much information in advance and like well in advance, and it's refreshing and we're kind of like, okay, we know where to pivot and we have enough time to pivot there and like and do that. But it's also just so much. So I'm like, let's just chill.
There's a certain sense of well, darn it, we got what we asked for.
Yeah, that's exactly it, where we're just like, okay. And the crazy thing is, I'm like, okay, so Leia's coming, new raid's coming, I still haven't gotten Aphra. Like, she's still back burner for me, unless I absolutely need her, and by that I mean unless they make her a requirement for Leia.
No, she's a good back burner, quite frankly.
Yeah, and I'm looking at him like, okay, it's almost the end of July, which means we're theoretically staring down the barrel of the next Afra type event. And I don't have Afra, so I'm like, we're gonna get Leia and a raid and probably another legend type unlock in December. So that's a lot of potential content.
I mean, hopefully that means, oh, well, actually, I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
I would like to think it might mean October and November could be relatively light, like a few marquees, but depending on when the raid actually happens. But
yeah.
But it could also be just a giant mess.
Or it could be marquees for the December event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with all the marquees going, I do double refreshes for all the marquees, and so yeah, I haven't been able to grow my crystal hoard back. So I'm down like 20,000 crystals, so I couldn't even 7-star Leviathan if I wanted to. But yeah, I am so neurotic. I keep up with all of that stuff, and I've been increasingly frustrated because not everyone does that, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm dependent on 49 other people that I need to do some aspects of that to help my account progression. And you know, to their credit, they're not neurotic like me and keep up and do everything all the time. So yeah, I've been having to temper my expectations a bit. And you know, with that understanding, yeah, there's so much going on, it's very hard to keep up right now. So
yeah, because we've even we took our foot off the gas for territory battles to the point that we're going to continue and just kind of, I think we're going to maintain, we haven't said this to the guild yet, so you know,
heard it here first.
I think we're gonna keep like conquest week is gonna be like easy breezy, no pressure week, and once we have enough to unlock Zepho, that's when the other week we'll be like, okay, let's push for Zepho and see what happens with the map. But
right,
otherwise it's just too much.
Okay, and there isn't much point in pushing anyway.
No,
the advantage to resources is minimal at best.
Yeah, like it makes way more sense in my opinion to push for the raid.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and you know, I mean, that the slow TP progression will just kind of happen naturally, I guess, as you develop your characters for other things, right? And then those characters will be handy. Like the Leviathan requirements have been super handy for the TP for me, because you know, I didn't have those R8s and those R9s, and now you know, it's really helped me fill out a couple teams, which has been great. So I appreciated that. My Bantha in the Room is a callback to the Grand Inquisitor release. I was really upset that he didn't come out on his anniversary and or before TB started last time, so that the people who were ready and had R7 teams could get one TB more of Reva shards ahead, because they released him as soon as the TB ended. Some people were saying that, oh, it wasn't released because they wanted Jedi Cal to be the focus. But again, it's like putting him in GI in the journey guide, that's a footnote. That's in like the patch notes, GI went in the journey guide. It doesn't take away from Jedi Cal. The people who haven't had GI for a year, they're not getting Jedi Cal, you know, like they don't care. You can do both. And I took it personally that they were keeping my guildmates from getting GI. So I have to take longer now to get Reva. I feel like I'm the only one in Kyber 1 without Reva. It's really upsetting me. The worst part about it was GI came and we had another TB where people could do Reva, and out of all the people that don't have GI in my guild, only two people more were ready for Reva mission. And so I just had to take that hard pill and swallow it, that I was first upset that it didn't come around so that they could do it, and then I was upset that they could do it and didn't. So Just Reva's a real sore spot for me right now. It's killing me. But on to positive stuff, you guys. What are you enjoying? Anything? Are we enjoying anything?
Oh, bring on. Yes, I am really, really enjoying knowing that the fleet meta is going to change tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, I mean, I think in many ways, fleets are a fundamentally broken game mode because I think there needs to be a way to make it more varied.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to fix it. I have no, I'm not on the wrong guide for that. But on the other hand, it's not like I want them to release a new capital ship every 3 months. Like, that would be awful. But boy, am I sick and tired of Profundity versus Executor battles. I've been doing it for close to a year. Give me something new. Make my shard mates cry for a couple months until they get Leviathan. You know, it'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so excited that we get the fleet attention that we had. I mean, before we were just, you know, so starved. It was just like there was, like, you know, I mean, we were talking about even just getting a tank for the resistance fleet. You know, it's like, you know, that there was just everything and fleets was so neglected. So I just appreciate that we're getting what seems like a steady inflow at this point. Somewhat a silver lining there. So you got stuff you're enjoying?
This is always a fun time for me right now because we're in the new Conquest series. So I
you get videos
that.
Out there.
I just love figuring out what works. Figuring
you're the go-to
out
Conquest lady.
What's broken. The fact that, like, this Phoenix team is actually doable. I'm like, man.
And kudos to them. It's really fun. And they can win in Conquest. And so it's a great opportunity to use them and experience the fun that team is.
And can I just say, related to Conquest, by the way, isn't it weird that the Conquest was not weird that Conquest is so buggy this time, but isn't it weird that all the bugs appear to be in players' favor?
It is.
Like, it's actually really odd.
Yeah. I've been like, go take advantage of this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been getting a lot of that. We've been pretty fortunate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty straightforward. You know, boy, yeah. What am I super enjoying? Right now, I don't know. I'm gonna move on. You know, this comes out tomorrow/today when Leviathan. Should we just role play like we did the Leviathan event? Boy, it sure was easy.
I hope it's easy.
I really liked the way there was so much less RNG than in the Profundity event.
Yeah. I got to use all of the Sith ships this time. They didn't make me not use the main ship of the fleet for it.
I just hit auto.
You know, it's funny. I had someone ask me today, do I think they'll need their Ebon Hawk pilots at Relics in order to do this event? And it looks like Ebon Hawk is going to be on the fleet that we will be bringing into the event. So I was like, I don't know, man. I mean, I imagine it's like
that soft, like
I imagine it's like the last reinforcement. Probably. But the last battle, the tier 4 is against the Executor. Well, Ebon Hawk's really good against the Executor. So
because didn't they do that with Profundity too? You needed a ship that wasn't required.
Well, you couldn't use the Millennium Falcon, which was the worst part.
Well, I thought but even just in the unlock there was a ship that was required that wasn't in the requirements that maybe I was thinking, I don't remember. Anyway,
I don't remember.
Yeah, those stuff. Yeah, I saw on Reddit because, of course, Reddit was like complaining that the event didn't come out today. And the guy was like, I took today off of work to do the event. He was like so mad. It's like, I can't believe it's tomorrow. It's like, yeah, no, they didn't lie. They said it was going to be in game. They never said the event was today.
And
their communication was spot on. Reading is hard sometimes.
It follows the exact pattern of the Profundity.
Yeah, totally does.
It's frustrating because their wording is sort of deceptive.
Yes,
but it's consistent.
Yeah,
so
consistently deceptive.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are going to remember it for the next capital ship that comes out. That's for sure. Yeah, and then lastly, I think I would actually be remiss if I didn't mention that. You know, I think one of the first people who did mention Geo Leia was Gerbil. He came out with an extensive detailed video like a year before anyone was thinking about, you know, I think GL Leia, or, you know, when maybe some of those first murmurs were starting to happen. And he did, like, I mean, his the analysis of that video is just incredible. It's a really great mm-hmm. video out there, and you yeah. go back and you're like, wow, this was a long time ago this came out. So I always just like to mention, to give him a little bit of credit, because yeah, he was deserving on that one, and the amount of work that he put in to that as well. But you guys, we did it. We're here. We ran mm-hmm. a little bit 20 minutes over what I expected, but wouldn't be UTH without that. Sarah, great to have you back.
Thanks.
You are welcome to come. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know if we're going to have you back every time, all the time.
I don't know what we're doing.
Whatever you
either.
Want to do. Yeah, we didn't discuss that. We'll figure that out, I guess. Yeah, behind the scenes. I'm sure the listeners will be curious to know. But I just feel like with your workload, I mean, you're still doing Create Conquest videos, HNN, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
we're here for you. We're here to support you.
The lucky thing is I don't go back to work until April. So.
Oh, that's right. You're still on maternity.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Look at Canada.
I get to hang out all day.
And they're.
I make it sound. Yeah. I make it sound like I'm doing nothing. I'm, you know, I'm not. But. Yeah.
Okay.
It makes keeping up with things a lot easier. It's really just he's in a clingy. Well, I mean, he's a baby, so he's allowed to be clingy.
clingy babies. Yeah, that's yeah. great. Okay, well, yeah, we'll figure it out. More UTH to come. Yeah, look forward to another episode, hopefully in the next 2 weeks. I don't know. I'll get it figured out, you guys. If you enjoyed this episode, please come join us on Discord. Guys, again, just thank you to all the listeners. We've done this for 2 years. I hope to make it a third year here. I appreciate every episode that you've listened to and enjoyed with us. Feel free to join the Discord, and you can join, keep the conversation going. But with that, it is time to
go switch off.